This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, today we've got a real fun show I'm looking forward to. There's a book I read that just really impacted me, my life, my focus in business, everything. So I wanted to share it with you guys, with the author of that book, Steve Cook. He also happens to be a real estate investor. Not only is he the author of the book, Life and Air, a book that challenges Americans who blindly pursue wealth thinking that it will reward them with what they want in life. He, as an investor, just to give you a little background, started investing in real estate in the Baltimore area back in 1998, has done over 500 deals spanning many different types of investing. And today he lives in Wisconsin and focuses on his family and helping others. He is the founder and author of Life and Air, as I mentioned, a book that really is changing lives of entrepreneurs all across the country. Well, Steve, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Bill, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
So am I. I've been looking forward to this since you agreed to be on the show. Why don't you just tell us a little bit? I gave you just gave everybody a brief background, but why don't you just kind of tell us your story, where you're from and how you kind of moved into not only real estate investing, but into this book called Life and Air.
Well, my story is one where I sort of came out of a broken family. My parents had been divorced early, and as a result, we grew up struggling. Many people would have said that we were poor. I think as I look back at my time as a young person, I don't think that I ever really went without. But those early years in my life were something that really formed me, and I had this desire to be free or to be wealthy or rich. And I grew up with this attitude, and along with that came this entrepreneurial mindset. And so I'm a person who, from a young age, I was pursuing businesses and doing everything I could to become rich. And I did an awful lot. I mean, by the time I was 21 years old, I bought my first restaurant and bar. It didn't last too long. I went under with that. I didn't learn my lesson the first time. I bought my second one when I was 25. At that time, I did realize that what I actually purchased was two jobs, and I was lucky if I got paid for one. After a couple of years of that, I really couldn't continue to keep on doing that, and that ended up going under as well. And it wasn't until after that that I really decided I was going to focus on becoming a real estate investor. I do have to confess that it was sort of creative real estate investing techniques that I had used to get into both of those restaurants. And I was just buying businesses rather than real estate. So I did have some knowledge of what it took to potentially become a real estate investor. But at that time, I was in a really bad spot. I was deep in debt. My credit was shot. I didn't have any income, really no experience as a real estate investor. And but that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to become an investor. And that was in 1998. And I went off and just started really just educating myself, learning everything I could about all different techniques. And I got started as a real estate investor in July of 1998.
Wow. And what kind of real estate investing did you do?
Well, at that time, as through all of my studying, I came across a type of real estate investing where they said you didn't have to have any credit, you didn't have to have any money, you didn't have to have a job, you didn't have to have experience. And I looked at all those things and I thought, well, I'm qualified to do that one.
I meet those qualifications.
Yes. And I fell right in place for that. And it was really wholesaling or quick flipping. And that is the way that I had gotten started in the business. And I ended up doing 105 flips in my first 2 years in the business.
Wow. That's amazing. Do you have any real estate investments that you're actively involved with?
I still invest in real estate today. I a little while back said, oh, I'm going to slow down some. And I just had a conversation with a good friend of mine yesterday. And they said, well, you know, how's that working out for you? And I said, I don't think I can slow down too much. I tell people I have to start Home Buyers Anonymous because I'm addicted to buying houses. And my primary focus today, I moved to a small town in Wisconsin, and my primary focus today is new construction. And if you've read my book, you know that I believe in free and clear rental properties, and I have a number of free and clear rental properties.
That's awesome. Wow. Well, you know, I mean, your real estate background, we could probably spend a lot of time talking about that. But I think the thing that I would love to hear about is how this book, Life in Air, even came about. How did that stir you up and change your life?
Well, it's a pretty interesting story because, as I shared with you, in my first 2 years, I ended up doing those 105 flips. And consequently, I had people from all over the country who were getting in touch with me. They wanted to know what was I doing, how was I doing it. People were flying in, driving in, taking me out to dinner, buying me lunch. And they all wanted to know what was my secret. How did you do it? And there really wasn't a secret other than just working hard. But I ended up becoming a real estate investing educator. I ended up writing a couple of real estate courses, and people from all across the country were learning from me. I had some students that started becoming wildly successful as real estate investors. On one hand, I was so proud of them. And then I started seeing things that I didn't like. And I started seeing their families falling apart or marriages not doing well. And what had happened was so many of these people were so focused on becoming successful in their business that they were neglecting the things that they were telling me were important to them. And so for a while, I had even contemplated whether or not I was even going to teach people anymore, because I did not want to be an instrument that was causing dysfunction within families and marriages. That's something that I hold very dear. And it was more important to me to make sure that those who I helped to become successful in business, that I was also helping them to become successful in life and with their families and things like that. So it really, once I started seeing that, I changed my entire approach, and I started thinking, how can I help people in these other areas? So when they came to me and told me they wanted to be a successful real estate investor, I started asking the question, why? And then 1 week, I had two different gentlemen, when I asked them that question, they came to me and they said, Steve, I want you to teach me how to become a millionaire. And I asked them the question, why? Why do you want to become a millionaire? And in both cases, both of these men said, so that I can be a better father and a better husband. And I had told them, I said, you don't need $1 million to be a better father or a better husband. That's a decision that you just need to make, and you can start doing that today. And both of them insisted that I was wrong And I said, listen, I know exactly where you're coming from. I've been there too. And what happens if you fail at becoming a millionaire? Are you going to fail at being a father? Are you going to fail at being a husband? Or are you going to step up and do the right thing in those areas, regardless of whether you make $1 million or not? And both of them sort of dismissed me and, you know, said, well, you've got money now. It's easy for you to say that. So the following week, I was sitting there and just thinking about those two guys. And I was sitting out on the side of a lake and just sort of having quiet time and praying and thinking, what is it about this word millionaire that just grips people and where they're willing to just sacrifice everything for it? And it was like in that moment, and I just attribute it to God. I believe that God spoke to me and said, what they really want to be is a life and heir. And I was thinking, life of what? And I wrote down this word, life and heir, and it's sort of been a burden and a blessing to me every day ever since that day. And so sort of life and heir was birthed at that time, and I was starting to really experience myself. What does it really mean to be somebody who has a full and abundant life? And started just really living it myself and then starting to share it with others. And, you know, it took me 9 years to write that book, but I think I had to experience a lot of what it meant myself to get there.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's one of those, man, it's I guess it's real estate, but it's a lot of other success-oriented programs out there, you know, that really stress more the financial aspect. You know, you see their ads, and they've got their Ferraris and their Lamborghinis and scantily clad women and all of this stuff. You know, what are they really selling? You know, and I think that so much of even the philosophy behind a lot of these programs, it's everything's the goal, everything's the money, everything's, you know, making that goal. Wow. Is this what you have to do? You have to change your priorities here in order to be successful. And I'm one that, you know, kind of feels like you do. You know, I've seen some of this stuff, and I've, you know, people that I've talked to in our network and so forth that are very much into this approach, which to me seems really, it's got to be super disappointing, especially when people get to that level. It's kind of like, well, this is it, you know, that's it, you know, mm-hmm. And at what cost? And I think that those are things that you really point to in your book, which is really, really important, that sometimes people get lost in this material goal and families suffer as a result of it. And I think individuals do too, even if you don't have a wife and kids. You know, I think you'll be really disappointed when you get there, you know, that exactly. this goal is it, you know, that's it. I'm supposed to be happy.
Well, you put the one question out there, Bill, at what cost? And, you know, that's one of the things that is the big difference between life and heir and everything else that is out there is most programs, and they're good, but most programs will say, go off, make a lot of money, and then life will be great. And the bottom line is they tell you to sacrifice your life and give your life and do everything for it in hopes that one day it will give you your life back. At Life and Heir, we don't put business first. We put life first. We say we're going to live our lives regardless of whether or not our business or careers are successful. We're still going to experience a great and abundant life. But we actually decide what do we want our lives to look like. We're going to live that life, and then we design a business that serves the lifestyle rather than designing a business that we have to serve with our life, if that makes sense.
No, that's a great way to put it. That's powerful. And I think that is the issue, you know, is that you can be successful, you can achieve goals in your life. That's kind of what everybody's looking for. They're looking for that, like these guys that came to you that said, hey, you know, I want to do this for my wife and my family and my kids. And I'm sure that there are many that have the greatest intentions. But, I don't know if the goals they're setting that are causing them to, you know, to veer away from maybe they're just real unrealistic goals, or maybe the way that they're doing it is the approach to it. But a lot of people just get lost along the way. And before you know it, they have sold out themselves and all this for, you know, a goal that doesn't happen to be family or those things that really do matter.
Mm-hmm. It's a conflicting vision. And, you know, I tell people that the American dream has been distorted. And, you know, today people don't even really think about what it is that they want their lives to look like. The culture around us tells you what your life should look like. And so most people blindly just go and start pursuing a business or a career in hopes of making a lot so that one day life will be great. And it's that vision is one where they're living somebody else's life, what somebody else thinks their life should look like. And at Life and Air, we take a step back and we say, no, you're the one who should decide what your life is supposed to look like, what does success mean to you. Don't let the world define it for you. You define what success means to you. And then what we do is we pursue that life and we build a business to help live that life.
Right, exactly. And I think that's it, is that we get these conflicting messages, and it's all over social media, it's everywhere. And you know, that is that we need to have lots of stuff and the latest stuff, and the more stuff we have, the happier we'll be. And there's these, you know, there's even these movements now that people are just moving away from that. You know, these, I don't know if you've seen these tiny homes, you know, that people are, you know, that you can pull behind your car. It's almost like a trailer, right?
But they're going to simplicity.
Yeah. Is there's so many people that are saying, you know, I don't need, you know, 50 pairs of shoes. I don't need, you know, this stuff. You know, our start it's a neat movement if it is, you know, happening. It's just the idea that realizing that this lie that's been fed to us for so many years, you know, that you've got to get the bigger house, you've got to get the bigger car, the better car, the latest iPhone, the latest whatever it is. It's just, you know, fed into the American psyche. And unfortunately, you know, there's just too many people that have, you know, sort of drank that Kool-Aid.
Well, one thing that I would like to go ahead and make very clear for all of the listeners is that when it comes to Life and Air, we're not suggesting that one way is right or another way is wrong. It's up to you to determine what's right or wrong for you. For instance, I like making money, and the last thing in the world that I want to do is be poor. And all too often, people start to hear the Life and Air message, and they think that we're focused on simplicity and poverty, and that's not necessarily the case at all. We don't think that there's anything wrong with having nice things, but there is a problem when nice things have you. And, you know, that's the difference. When you can own it, there's nothing wrong with it. But when it owns you and controls your life, then you need to maybe take a step back and say, do I really need to have this in my life, at least at this point in my life? And is there a better way for me to go about experiencing this? Or, you know, maybe I need to wait another few years before I actually have the big home or I have the really nice cars. But some people come to the conclusion that that's just not for them, and others, that is exactly who they are. But our goal is to help people discover for themselves what it is that they really want, rather than us or the world telling them, this is what your life should look like. And we're very much focused on leading people down that path of self-discovery and then letting them know it's okay. If you want less, there's nothing wrong with that. If you want more, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, how do we go about doing it, and what's the cost? What are we sacrificing to have it is what we encourage people to think through before they run down that path.
Yeah, I think that maybe that's really more it is what's the cost, and what are your priorities? Mm-hmm. And how do people get lost? You know, they may start off like you were saying, some of the people that came to you and said, well, I want to be a millionaire for my family and kids. But how do people get lost in their priorities? What happens in that case?
That's where I ask people right away. You know, that's the question that I want to just challenge so many people with, is, you know, how did we end up there in the first place? Because when I speak to people, and just about everyone who I speak to, at first, the last thing in the world they would ever tell me that they want to do is have a lot of debt. In fact, just about everybody who I come across wants to be debt free, yet they all have a lot of debt. And if they really and truly want to be debt free, why are they going to debt in the first place? So how do people get there? How do they get there? Well, the world around them is telling them that this is the right thing to do. Take, for instance, a young couple who's just been married. the world's telling them that they should buy a house and, you know, have some kids and give them the best of everything and have nice cars and you should get this insurance and you should buy this thing and you should buy that thing. And before they know it, life is so stressful, but they were doing everything that was right. They're playing this game called life. They were playing by all the rules. They were doing their best. And one day they wake up and they wonder, where did life go? And this world, this marketing is just constantly preaching to us that we should have this, we should do that. This is the smart way to do things. And we all want to be thought of as smart. So we take those steps. And, you know, I sometimes sit here and I just wonder, I'd love to just be able to get young people before they've been down the path and we have to help them unwind things. I love it when young people come into Life and Air and we can get them on the right path before they find out that the path that they were getting ready to go down was going to lead them to, you know, a life that was hard. And they, you know, you wake up on a Monday morning, you're not waking up because you're joyful and you're ready to just approach life. Instead, most people wake up Monday morning and ready to go work because they promised a lender that they would serve them with their lives. They're going to put in so many hours every week in order to serve that lender. And that's to me, this lie that we need to have all of this stuff and it's the right thing to do. People want to do what's right and they find themselves in a mess at some point.
I think they start off in many regards, you know, wanting that dream of financial freedom, you know, of not having to, you know, to have the money to be able to do the things that I want to do, whether it's, you know, with my family or out and explore and travel or whatever it may be. But what happens, you know, when they get the money is that they end up getting more in bondage than they probably were when they were broke. And I think in the book, you know, it talks about that too, is, you know, people reflecting back on when we barely had enough to, you know, we lived in this little single one room apartment and we used to have to go and buy, you know, this food and make, you know, stuff and do, you know, I mean, just when their life was, they didn't have any money, they seemed to be happier than when all of a sudden they got all the things that they worked so hard to achieve.
You would not believe how many broke people I know that make more than $200,000 a year. And, they just, it seems as though the more that they make, the more that they spend. And when I ask them, how was life when you were only making $40,000 a year, they'll usually tell me, oh, it was so easy then. And I say, well, start living like you only made $40,000 a year. They can't even comprehend that because the world says, no, that's not the way things are supposed to be.
Yeah, a lot of it is just that concept too, is people don't always know what's enough. Because I think the messages out there can be a little confusing, but sometimes when you really cut back all the stuff and all the advertising and all the media messages we get on a daily basis, step back and say, what do I really need to be able to live a decent life? You realize it's a lot less than you were probably aspiring towards.
That's what most people find out, is that they need far less than what they thought they needed. I'll just put it to you this way. I tell people that typically when I work today, you know, I go on a lot of mission trips to other countries, and most of the people, when they go to work, they're working for their food that day. I tell people that today when I work, I'm working to provide for my family 30 years from now, because we're taken care of for the next 30 years pretty much already. So, you know, what are we working for? Most people in the United States are not working for today. We're working for some point in the future. And we're that well off. We're trading our futures away in order to have something today. And we usually do that through debt. So because we have all those extra funds, we just keep buying more and more and more. And we use debt to get there. But what people don't realize is that every time they go into debt, what they did was they promised their future to the lender. And that's the part that really gets people.
Yeah, I think that's what happens a lot with folks that are looking again for financial freedom, is they do get the free, you know, they get the funds, you know, that they wanted to replace their their W-2 income, for example. But then when they start buying all these things, they realize that they're working again, and they're working to pay off the people that they've borrowed against, you know, to fund their lifestyle. And I think that that's, you know, that's a trap that, you know, many people fall into, and you know, they end up spending years and years to try to get out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I remember the very first time when I went and signed a 30-year mortgage, there was a little bit of a sick feeling, and I didn't know why. I discovered why a little bit later on. You know, I my story of starting out and doing all of those flips, I continued to do about a deal a week for about the first 9 years of my career. And I was doing everything right. I was putting together my rental portfolio. I went off, I bought a big home for myself. And you know what? And I'll tell you how I came about that. When I started making good money as a real estate investor, I went and I sought counsel. And I went to estate planners and accountants and other real estate investors, and they all told me, Steve, here's what you should do. And one of the first things was go buy yourself a nice house. You know, you could use the write-off and you can afford it, so go get yourself a nice house. And I was a single guy. I bought a 5,500 square foot home on 5 acres in one of Baltimore's most prestigious neighborhoods. I ended up putting together a rental portfolio. Within a few years, I had 25 properties in my portfolio. I built a vacation home, a mountaintop home down in North Carolina, and I was doing everything right. I was playing by all the rules. All of my debt was good debt. And then one day I woke up and I was miserable. I couldn't figure out why. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me that I had $4.5 million in debt. And that debt was very controlling of me. I could pay for it, but it consumed me. It consumed me when I was sleeping. I was very generous, but at that time when I had that debt, I didn't want to give anymore. I found that I was very fortunate in the sense that just a few years earlier, because of my failure in the restaurant business, I was not able to get into debt. I couldn't borrow money. So my needs were very little because I didn't owe anybody anything. And my needs were about $25,000 a year. And this was in 2001. And so $25,000 a year, I was making really good money. In fact, I had made $25,000 in the first 3 weeks of the year. So my needs were taken care of for the whole year within only 3 weeks. But by 2004, when I was doing everything right, I was playing by all the rules. I bought all the rentals. I got the big house, had the write-offs, and did everything I was supposed to do. That same $25,000 would only get me through 2 weeks. And few years earlier, it would get me through a whole year. And now I was doing it, but I had to perform at that level of making $25,000 every couple of weeks just to maintain, just to keep things going. And the amount of stress and pressure that put on me, I came to the conclusion that this is not what I want. I am not going to continue to do this. And it was in that moment that I decided that I was never going to borrow money again, and I was going to figure out how am I going to continue to do what I've been doing, but do it without borrowing. And so it was January of 2006 when I decided I was going to stop borrowing. And in October of 2009, we had paid off the last of our debt, and I have not gone into debt since that day. Everything that we own today is free and clear. I tell people that the difference is, you know, when I made $50,000 on a deal back then, it came into my account, and then I was sort of a middleman for money. It went right back out to whoever it was I owed it to. Today, when I make $50,000 on a deal, I get to keep it all, and I have to figure out what do I want to do with the money. Before, it was already predetermined what I had to do with that money, and today, I get to do whatever I want.
That's great. That's great. Now, a lot of our listeners are, you know, people that are 50 years of age and older, and some of them are approaching retirement, and there's others that are already in retirement. And one of the things that they're doing is they're looking at real estate as a possible means to either supplement their existing retirement, or maybe they're looking ahead and they're seeing that, gee, you know, I don't know if the funds that I have are going to last the full duration here or not. And so, there, you know, some are just looking for a little extra cash flow. Some are looking, you know, at developing a legacy that, that they can hand down to their kids. What kind of advice would you have for the folks that are listening audience that are faced with this, you know, given your experience?
Well, the first thing that I always tell everyone is that they need to come up with a clear vision of what it is that they want to accomplish. When I was out really spending most of my time teaching people how to invest in real estate, one common question that people always asked me was, Steve, where should I get started? And I was the person who always frustrated everybody because my response was always, well, it depends. And most people will say, well, everybody should get started this way as a real estate investor. And I think that's the worst advice that anybody could possibly give, because that is one of the reasons why so many people have gotten into trouble with real estate investing, is because they've been led down the wrong path. There are so many different types of real estate investing techniques, and there are so many different ways to be successful. But one of the keys is picking the right type of investing that is going to help you to accomplish your goals and help you to live the life that you want to live. And so most importantly, I think that what people need is a clear vision of what it is and how they want to experience their life. How much time will they actually have to invest into their real estate investing? What kind of resources do they have? What kind of money do they need real estate investing to make for them? Do they need to make chunks of money every once in a while, or is just a small or regular cash flow coming in every month what they need? And that by far is the most important way to go about doing it, is first and foremost knowing exactly what it is that you want to accomplish with it. There's probably people who are listening to this call that are in a position right now where they may have been investing now for the last couple of years, and it's not getting them what they were hoping to achieve. And sometimes they're just pursuing the wrong type of investing for the, you know, the result that they're actually looking for. And, you know, I used to fall into that trap. I would go and I would listen to speakers, and their pitch would be so compelling that I would go home and feel like I needed to completely revamp my business. And after a few months of trying to do things differently, and I'm not making the kind of money that I used to make, I used to have to go back and say, you know what, I already know what works, and I know what works for me, and I need to just go back and do business the way that I used to do it. And I had made the decision quite some time back that I had to be really careful about listening to really good speakers, because they could lead me down the wrong path. And when I found what works for me, I've just stayed and I focus on that one thing, and I do it over and over and over again. And I just do what I know works and what accomplishes the goals that I need to accomplish in order to live the life that I want to live. So first and foremost is get very clear. And that's one of the things that we teach with LifeNair, is we help people to develop a LifeNair vision, a clear vision of what it is that they want out of life. And real quick, just to put things into perspective, very rarely do I come across somebody who knows what they want their life to look like. In fact, when I ask most people, they'll all tell me, oh, I know exactly what I want. And if I'd say, well, tell me what it is, they almost always tell me what they want their balance sheet to look like, or how much positive cash flow they want to have. They talk about their financial statement. They don't talk about their life. And then so I have to rephrase the question and say, well, if you already had that, then what would you want to do with your life? In order to get them focused on how do you want to spend your time? Who do you want to spend it with? You know, what is it that you want to do? And that, to me, that's the most critical step in determining anything, whether it's your career, a business, real estate investing, whatever it is you're pursuing. You need to know what that is supposed to produce for you, and so that you can approach it the right way and make sure that what you're doing isn't compromising the life that you want to live, but instead enhancing it.
That's great. That's great. Now, your current business, you've obviously got a lot going on. You're still active in real estate investing, but you also have everything that's going on with LifeNair. You know, what one thing happening right now is really exciting you about your future and about you know, the future of what you're doing?
Well, with LifeNair, I love the message. I love sharing the message. And in recent years, we have not had a very good web presence, and Much of that has been because we've been so busy just sharing the message directly with people and being invited out to speak in places, and we've been doing it very much in person. But I am so excited about getting back to the internet and sharing, where we had just have such a large audience, this life-changing message. And so I am really excited because supposedly this week my new website is finally supposed to be completed. And I'll tell you, it's been years in the works. But it's supposed to be completed this week, and we are going to just start putting out tons of great content as it pertains to living as a life and air, sharing life and air principles, really giving people things to think about and tools to help live and experience an incredible life. And I'm really excited about that because my passion is just making a difference in the lives of people.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, in a couple moments here, we'll ask you, you know, about your website and how people can reach you and find out more about what you're doing over there at Life and Air, which is really exciting. You know, one thing that I did notice too is also your focus on giving back, and I know that this is something that we stress a lot on our show as well, is that, you know, I think as we're blessed that we need to bless others, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you're doing, especially in Guatemala.
Well, I've always been somebody who has liked giving back, and there was a time when I supported so many different ministries, and I think that there's a lot of great things out there. But about 6 years ago, I made the decision that I want to really go deep with a couple of things. I'm going to go really deep with one thing here in the United States, and I'm going to go really deep with one thing outside of the States. And it's where I'm going to give of my finances, but it's also where I'm going to give of myself and my time. One of the things that I really wanted to do was focus on helping to change the lives of some of the people in Guatemala. And, you know, I'm a person who doesn't believe that just sending a check, that doesn't change somebody's life. But the way that you change life is to actually give of your life. You've got to sow life to reap life. And so I go down into Guatemala often, and I bring a team of people with me. Almost all the people who go with me on every trip are part of the Life and Air organization. We bring in dozens of people each time that we go in. And we just go there, and we love the people. There's a school that we serve at. This school was set up for the poor, whose families typically live on a dollar or two a day. They have to provide everything for the family, in many cases with less than $2 each and every day. And life is hard. It's not easy. And we can go in and just come alongside of them and love them. And we have to be really careful not to teach them our Western or American values, but really just give them hope and come alongside of them and do little things to help them and to maybe help them to become more self-sufficient. And we've been going in now regularly for the last 6 or 7 years. And, you know, it's just so awesome seeing how people's lives are being changed. We go in, we build homes, we help out at the school. We are there to do everything we can to help meet the needs of the families, particularly when they are not capable of meeting some of those needs themselves. But, you know, being a real estate investor, and many of the people who are part of the Life and Air organization are in real estate as well, building houses is just something that we've been passionate about doing there. And we've built quite a few houses there over the years, and it's very rewarding to be able to do that and change a family's life.
Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. Well, how can people get a hold of you or find out about Life and Air and some of the neat things that you're doing over there?
The best way is just to go to our website, and that's www.lifeandair.com. And Life and Air, it's sort of like millionaire except life, but I'll spell it for you. It's LIFEONAIRE, and you can pronounce it like millionaire, but oftentimes people say life on air. It's not three words, it's one, Life and Air. So lifeandair.com, and that's the best way to reach out to me.
Great. gosh, Steve, it's been great having you on. At times, just kind of zipping by here, and we have a sort of a tradition here on our show that everybody that comes on, we're called the Old Dogs REI Network. So, all of our guests get to close us out with their best old hound dog howl. Now, I don't know if in Wisconsin if they got any hound dogs up there or not, but yeah, I know you could probably give us a good hound dog howl. So, are you ready for this?
I don't know. I'll give it a shot.
All right, great. Well, go ahead, give it your best shot. Here we go. All right.
That was good.
That was a good one, actually. That was pretty good. You probably didn't even have a chance to practice it, huh?
That was my first time ever.
Well, great, Steve. Thank you so much for being on. And for those of you guys listening too, this book is an excellent book. Yeah, we're gonna have a link to it so you guys can pick up a copy. And I have also the audio version of it, so it's really nice to listen to in the car, and it's pretty convicting. And even as an old dog here, you know, one of the things that really touched me about this approach is so many of us, you know, I've worked for companies where they have, you know, they just expect you to work 10 hour days, you know, and it was always at the cost. There was always a cost, and it was usually of my family. And, you know, it's going into full-time ministry when we were serving in Haiti, it was also very time-consuming. Even though we're doing good work, you know, we're doing the Lord's work. At the same time, you know, it takes its toll on families. One thing that's just real convicting in listening to the book and reading the book was that, you know, it's not too late. It's not too late to turn things around and to reconnect with families, even though you may have been in that workaholic mode or whatever it may have been that took you away from your family. It's really not too late to change things and to make them better again. So I thought that was a real redeeming message in the book that I thought was great. Also applies to us old dogs as well. Definitely have a read and check that out. And I want to thank all our old dog listeners out there just for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. Everything we've talked about, everything Steve talked about today, will be in our show notes section of our website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And then just look up the podcast on Life and Air and Steve Cook, and you'll get that, as well as the links to all of these things that Steve mentioned, as well as the book itself too, and his website. So that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king, real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.